Today we'll talk about that a little bit if everybody, you know, get a chance to look at that on Shemos Beget. I think I made allusion to that. And the question of the Muchach Mitocho, just a little bit more on that. The Tosa Rush, I think I mentioned the Tosa Rush on Pei Vav Amud Beis, interprets the Gemara a little bit differently than the Pashtus. Pashtus of the Gemara is that the Gemara is about Lishma. And the Tosa Rush there talks about also Mesira being Muchach Mitocho. And I think that's Lishitaso if you also look at the Tosa Rush on that base. And if you get a chance, like the Tosis Rid in Kiddushin, just look at the Kiddushin, or Sigin Kiddushin very quickly. On Daf Tes, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Shtar Kiddushin, Kasav Ala Niyar, Ala Cheres, and Tosis there, and the Tosis Rid there. So that just like to fill in some of the Rabbi Lazar Meir is all over the Masechta, as you can imagine. And, Ksav Shiachal is Dayef, a little bit of Daf Kavdal. So I'll just give you a few more things. I don't think we'll have time to do much more than that, but at least we could fill out that picture. And as I said, when we pick up after the break, we'll fill in the question of, for sure we need to do a topic on Eidachon Neman Bisurim. As I mentioned, this is one of the most important sugyas for that. And we're definitely going to do something on Kibush Shtar Staraisa. That shouldn't take very long. Neither of them should take very long, hopefully. And then a little bit just filling in, some of the B'fanei Nechtav, and a little bit of Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll mostly pick up on Dav Hei and move forward from there. So that's the plan. And then right now we're in the middle of discussing the question of Eide Kiyum. Again, the reason that we got into this is the question of Rabbeinu Tam quoted in Tosis on Dalet Amud Aleph, which is really tremendously mechudash, a breakthrough. If we didn't have that, we'd really be spiritually and intellectually impoverished, because it really opens up so many important themes. But again, Rabbeinu Tam has this comment that Eide Chasima Karsi, according to Rabbi Meir, is insufficient for Eide Kiyum in Gerushin. Okay, then in addition, he also says something else. The Tosis then continues and says something else sensational that we already discussed, and that is also open to question. It's already a suffix in Tosis. And that is, is it possible that Rabbi Meir will agree with Rabbi Eliezer will agree with Rabbi Meir, even according to the Balei Tosis in Shar Shtaros. So those are the two, additional, the beginning of the Tosis is all a statement of the, Ashkenaz, Tzorfat view that Rabbi Eliezer's Eide Mesira Karsi is exclusive, and then the continuation, you have the these two additional kiddushim, one on the inadequacy of Eide Chasima for Eide Kiyum, and the other the a potential opening, notwithstanding the general view of Rabbi Eliezer being exclusive, maybe in Dine Mamonis it's different because of the factor of Hodas Baldin, Kimedim Dami. We'll talk a little bit more about Hodas Baldin, obviously, as well. So that's where we are. And then we noted that the Rif and the Rambam clearly disagree. They hold that Eide Chasima do serve the function of Eide Kiyum, and at least in Gittin, that is explicit in the Rif and the Rambam, and we're trying to evaluate what that machlokas is really all about. So what we've said was that Rabbeinu Tam's position is rooted in two premises. One is that in order to accomplish Eide Kiyum, you have to have some sort of a presence. It's not enough that you have secured raya on this transaction. You really have to have some sort of nochut, some sort of actual presence in order to achieve the goal of Eidei Kiyum. That's assumption number one. And assumption number two is that Eidei Chasima, you know, doesn't, you know, accomplish that goal. You know, once you accept assumption number one, you know, frankly, assumption number two, you know, default, you know, is very compelling, right? Eidei Chasima are not present at the moment of the Maisa Gerushin, or if it would be a Maisa Kedushin. So the idea that, you know, even though they do serve the function of Raya, that they're, you know, they're not considered a presence, you know, frankly, that's not Mechudash. That's very reasonable. Okay. So now the question is, the Rif and the Rambam who disagree, and most of the Chachmei Sfarad seem to go along with them, at least they don't argue with them on that point. So, you know, what in which point or on both points do they disagree? So, yeah. So, again, on the Eidei Kiyum side of it, they would, you know, be able to disagree if they just felt that there's no presence requirement of Eidei Kiyum per se. What Eidei Kiyum is securing Birur. In other words, that when the Gemara says in Kiddushin, we're going to go back to them in just a second, Lo Ibri Sahadi Ela L'Shakri, when it comes to Dine Maminis, you know, that has, you know, two elements to it as well. You know, one is that the function of Edim is Raya, and that, in second, not Kiyum, let's say, and that's, and secondly, we may revise that a little bit, but for the moment, and secondly, that, you know, since that function is Raya, so if the, you know, if the you know, parties want to risk it, basically, so then there should be no chisaru, right? So if both parties agree, you know, that whatever it is that took place, even though there's no objective evidence, you know, to establish that beyond a shadow of a doubt or beyond the words of the Balei Dvarim, you know, that would be acceptable. That would be acceptable as well. But then that leaves us with the question, you know, so what about Ishus? So this, we read the Gemara already on Samachem days. Again, the Gemara's Havamina certainly was that there's not such a big gap between Eidei Kiyum and Eidei Birur, what we call Eidei Kiyum, or let's say it this way, Eidos B'Ishus and Eidos B'Dine Maminus. The Gemara thought that Hodos Baldin, K'meidim Dami, you know, could serve the same function or could replace the function of Eidos. So clearly, the Gemara's Havamina was that Raya, right, is also, you know, the primary category, you know, that is determinative when it comes to Ishus. And therefore the Gemara thought Hotas Baltin Kamedim. The question is, when the Gemara, you know, rejects that by saying Kablach Rini, what is the Gemara saying? So is the Gemara saying in Inochanami, that is true, that was true, that is true. However, Hotas Baltin Kamedim Dami itself, this doesn't apply to Ishus, because it's Chavlach Rini. If it had applied, right, then in Achanami, you wouldn't need Eidei Kiyum, what we call Eidei Kiyum, at all. And if you take that view, because we're going to analyze some of the fallout of that in just a moment, so then the Hagdara of Chavlach Rini, right, is very straightforward. Now again, where you draw the line might not be completely straightforward. I'll explain in a second. But at least, like in broad strokes, we understand what Chavlach Rini as a factor is all about. Namely, Hodos Baldin Kamei Edom Dami. The whole point of that is that, you know, this is their domain, and therefore they get to, you know, decide the standards. Okay? And, you know, since that is, you know, their prerogative, right? So, you know, it affects them, and there's a din of hodos baldin kimei edim dami. So, you know, we're going to rely on their word. However, if something is chavlachrini, then it's not, they're not the baal din anymore, because there's more than one baal din. Other people are affected adversely, you know, by this admission, or this would-be admission, and that, you know, detracts from whatever it is that makes hodas baal din, hodas baal din. We'll see in a couple of minutes, hopefully. The Ksos, who all over his work, you know, is very into this problem or this issue of hodas baal din k'neidim dami, most famously in Siman Lamed Daled, but he brings it up in Reish Mem Aleph when he talks about this exact, you know, issue. He quotes himself from Siman Lamed Daled, but it's all over the Ksos, you know, everywhere and anywhere. He's into Kinyan Odisa, he's into Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami. So the Ksos says, listen, the whole Shaku V'Tarya in Kiddushin is based on the premise that Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami, I'll read it inside in a minute, but Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami is not some sort of an extraneous ischaibus, and its equivalent Shavinav Shechaticha Di Isura is not sort of some sort of extraneous, you know, neder, which is an equivalent of ischaibus in the level of Yisurim. The very fact that the Gemara thought that, you know, Kiddushin could be established through Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami proves that we think it's some sort of nemanos, right? Because, you know, if two people claim, two people are, you know, want to treat, you know, want to pretend to the world that they're married, or, you know, accept upon themselves, you know, the downside or the obligations of marriage, you know, that does not a marriage make, clearly. So the concept of neder, or the concept of ischaibus, isn't going to get you anywhere if we're talking about, you know, real ishus. It's not going to get you, a punishment of eishes ish, and it's not going to get you a heter, you know, isha labala. You know, none of that is going to happen. So, you know, in the debate, you know, between already the Rishonim, if you look at Shita Mekubetzes and Ksuvos and other places, and certainly implicit of Rishonim, but especially of the Achronim, the Mari, Ibn Leib, who he quotes, again, we'll see one example, the relevant example of it in just a minute. So the idea is that Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami, and this is the Ksos's view throughout, is some sort of a real raya, meaning it's, he goes further, he thinks it's not just raya, it's literally Kimea Edim Dami. In one place, you know, the Ritva actually addresses this, you know, the Ksos and Siman Lamed Daled discusses, you know, how come it isn't, you know, if there are Edim against Hodas Baal Din K'neidim Dami, how come it isn't Trey or Trey, you know, or like Trey Kimea, because Hodas Baal Din is Kimea Edim Dami. And then he's forced to say, yeah, it's Kimea Edim Dami, you know, with the Chafadimyum, but it's not Mea Edim. The Ritva actually considers that in Bav Metzia. But the idea of the Ksos, you know, is very specific. He thinks it's real Edus, not just Biror. His view is that, like a lot of the, what I call the low plug, you know, dinim of Edus, like, you know, the psul of Krovim, and the psul of Eid Echad, you know, those kind of things are all suspended, let's say, in the context of Hodas Baal Din, you know, Kimea Edim Dami. Because, you know, when you speak about your own domain, and it really is your own domain, so then, you know, it's, you know, you can rewrite the dinim of Edus. Now, what dinim are still left, you know, that's an interesting question. Like, if you're going to call it really Edus, you know, and you could take somewhat literally, even with the Chafadimyon, Kimea Edim Dami, you know, so there still might be limitations. And that's, you know, a benefit for the Ksos, but one which he has to navigate, you know, very carefully. But the bigger idea is that this isn't Tiskaibus and it's not Neder. It's at minimum Birur, and he thinks it's really actually, you know, Edus. But what it's certainly not, right, is presence. Right? There's no sense that there's Gabra Edim or Chetza Shal Edus attached to this, you know, Ishus. It's all, you know, nemanus that there was such a thing. So in a way, you know, this isn't objectified. And that's essentially how to read the Gemara. The Gemara says, if it's Chavlach Rini, so it isn't their domain anymore. This is the way you would interpret it. Right? The way, if you say, Kodos Balin Kanedim Dami is a Skybus or Neder or something like that, so then when the Gemara says, oh, but if it's Chavlach Rini, it doesn't work. So that, how would the others interpret this Gemara? They'll say, yeah, the Havamina was, you know, that Hodas Baldin is some sort of an objective, you know, Raya. And what we're saying, Lamaskan, is that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way at all. Because, you know, if it did work that way, then maybe how we define Chavlach Rini, you know, would be a little bit different. The way that it works is that it's a Skybus. You know, therefore, when it's Chavlach Rini, like here, Chavlach Rini then doesn't even mean, you know, there are other people affected, and therefore it's not their domain, and therefore they can't rewrite the Dinam of Eidos. What it means is that, you know, Hodos Baldin just doesn't work that way. You know, Hodos Baldin is a Hischaivos. But anything, Chavlach Rini is like a proxy to say, but anything that requires some sort of more of objective of Viror, for whatever reason, right? You know, that's not going to work. Okay. Either way, the point is that the Havamina of Hodos, the best you could get from the Havamina of Hodos Baldin is for the Xos, is the Xos's view of Hodos Baldin, which is a kind of Eidei, you know, Biur. And what the Gemara is then saying is, Chavlach Rini, that rule doesn't apply because it's not the domain of husband and wife exclusively. There are other parties who are affected by it, and therefore Hodos Baldin, you know, doesn't work. If you interpret that way, right, so again, there will still be a question, what is Chavlach Rini? We'll talk about the range of Chavlach Rini soon. You know, but at least we understand what it's all about. It's about determining whether or not this domain is theirs or this domain is shared, in which case the, you know, detrimental impact that it, you know, the adverse impact that it can have on others eliminates the mechanism of Hodas Baldin establishing a kind of objective birur, maybe even a form of eidos. But one thing is certain, if you take all of that, and that is that, you know, likiyume milsa in the sense of presence, you know, that doesn't really exist here. So, you know, what's the Gemara's conclusion about Chavlach Rini? The answer is the Gemara's concluding that you need A, Eidos, not Hodos Baldin, right? But the other thing is that what the Gemara is saying is that in the absence of any kind of Eidos Birur, any kind of securing of Eidos Birur, right, there is also no Ishus, meaning there is kind of an objective formal requirement of Ishus that is implicit, and that too is connected to the principle of Chavlach Rini. In a way, if you interpret like this, Chavlach Rini serves like a double function, or put it this way, it's more expansive. Number one, Hodos Baldin Kanedim Dami isn't going to help you here, you know, even if you think it's Eidos. Number two, or 1A, or the extended one, and that is, you know, the stakes are high because they affect other people, and therefore, you know, the possibility of saying I'm going to risk it, you know, there was a Maisa Kiddushin, there's a Chalos Kiddushin, you know, but there's nothing objectively to prove that, right? And even though Hodos Baldin Kanedim Dami doesn't work here, you know, that you know means that you've undercut the actual Ishus, that's kind of the implicit additional assumption. And then when the Gemara continues and talks about the story of, you know, the two Amorayim, and the Gemara says, you need Eidos Lekiyume Milsa, right? So the way to understand that, kind of, is that the Gemara is saying, again, if you take this straight Mahalach, right? We now have a concept of Tzorech Birur, we'll call it, as a sine qua non for Ishus. It's not presence, right? It's the securing of Raya, but the securing of Raya ends up being a Tznai Kadum, a requirement, you know, for Chalos Ishus. So now the Gemara wants to know in the continuation, it's like, that's the next level, the government's saying, that the idea of, you know, requiring, you know, secured birur, you know, does that apply in Choshen Mishpat Kinyanim, you know, too? And that's what the Gemara says, no. Lo Ibri Sahadi Ella Lashakri, which means not only that, you know, in Choshen Mishpat there's no concept of presence, there's only a concept of birur. It also means, and if you want to, since the stakes are not, you know, Iser, Veheter, you know, they're Mamon, so if you want to risk it, if the two of you want to risk it, you know, then risk it. Okay? So that is, so that perspective of reading the Gemara basically, you know, doesn't leave us with a whole different concept of Eidus and Ishus. It's the same concept. It's a concept that's been tweaked. Right? We thought originally it could be Hodas Balbin. Right? And the Maskana is that, you know, the Birur that we need, you know, has to be Al Yedei Eidim, but it has to be. I mean, we can't just, you know, take that leap of faith. It's not up to us to make the leap of faith. The same reason that Hodas Baldin doesn't fill the gap of Birur, right, is so too, you need a guaranteed, you know, Birur. Right? Okay. But in Dine Mamanis, Loi Brisadi Alishak. That's one way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara is that the Gemara did a 180-degree turn. Right? The Gemara thought Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami would work in Ishus. That was based on two assumptions. Number one, that, you know, this is Hodas Baldin. They're the Baal Edinim. This is sufficiently their domain. Right? Is that a terrible Havamina? No, not at all. Even if you already know that other people are impacted potentially adversely, you know, by this change, right? It's still an interesting question whether or not that isn't like a secondary development. You know, that's the next level. That's the ripple effect. You know, to what extent is that part of the, you know, primary? And this is going to be a very critical question anyway. This is a subtle question, but it's going to be a critical question for defining what chadlach means. By the way, it's a question that applies in all cases where you want to challenge Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami. But it's particularly, you know, important if you're challenging it, you know, in a categorical way by saying things like, you know, that Ishus is always chadlach rini, or we'll have to see. What about Gerushin? The Gemara is only speaking specifically about Kiddushin. We're already aware that the Rajba, you know, has something to say about that. So the point is that, you know, the Havamina was that, you know, two things. Number one, this Hodas Baldin Kenedim Dami can work here because what we require, you know, is Birur. Number two, this is their domain, and whatever other, you know, issues, you know, in terms of impact is like a secondary ripple. You know, that's a concentric circle. It's not the main thing. And that matters, let's say, which for somebody like Vixos makes a lot of sense. We're trying to figure out, is this like, you know, a public, you know, broader din Torah, in which case the lo plug dinim avedus, you know, apply? Or is this, you know, beino leveino, you know, or beino leveina in the case of Ishus, right? And therefore it's a Hodas Baldin, you know, issue. But of course the other assumption, the assumption is that if it's Birur, you don't need, you can risk it. If it's Birur, or you can accomplish it. And then the Gemara says, no, it's Chavlach Rini. So if you're looking for 180 degrees, so what the Gemara is saying is, if the purpose of Eidus and Ishus was exactly as it is in Mamanus, as we'll soon clarify, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, from the Gemara's point of view, then in Inochanami, right? Either Hodas Spalding Kemedim Dami would work, right? Or something like it would work. But really, really what we're saying is that Ishus is called Lachrini. And that's not just a technical point that there's no Hodas Spalding Kemedim Dami. That would end up being, this is my suggestion, I don't know if I've ever seen it, somebody, you know, spell this out exactly this way, but I think this is, anybody who takes the view, let me say it this way, that Eidei Kiyum represent a qualitatively different type of Eidus, you know, we'll see in a moment, the Ritva, Reb Chaim, I think the Rabbeinu Tam here, anybody who takes that view, like, how does he get that from the Shaka V'Tarya, the Gemara, right? So the answer is, I think the answer is, the words Chav Lachrini. So then Chav Lachrini really mean, you know, something bigger than what we just said. Not just technically why Hodas Baldin doesn't, you know, work here, or why, in addition, you know, why you can't risk it, but, you know, too much, the stakes are too high, and therefore you have to guarantee the Birur. Rather, what it's trying to explain is, like, this phenomenon that A and B can do something, you know, and it can have impact on the rest of the world, that's another way of saying that what took place here is a transcendent action, not just a physical and more limited one. Meaning, what happened here was Yetziras HaChalos. She became an Ashes Ish, you know, and they became a married couple. And that isn't just about, you know, narrow, you know, kinyanim and heterim, you know, and the surim, you know, between them or the rest of the world. It's because, like, a fundamental transformation, a new definition, a new creation, you know, took place. That's what we mean when we say Chav Lachrini. Chav Lachrini, of course, Hodas Baldin isn't going to work. Not just because it's not, you know, only their domain. Maybe that part, you know, we, you know, with the ripple effect perspective, we could neutralize that problem. But what's really problematic is that this is a whole different function of Eidos. So then Chav Lachrini is going to be something that signifies, right, that transformation, that more than the sum of its parts, that transcendent element of this particular kid. And then the next line in the Gemara is like, oh, you know, these two Amarim saying, oh, wow, there is such a thing. There's something called Eidus, you know, which isn't just Labirur, but really is, you know, Lekiyume Milsa in the sense of, you know, it's a formalizing, solemnizing, you know, a way of defining, you know, that this is a different kind of chalos, this is a different kind of kinyan. So maybe that's true, you know, in informal kinyanim and dine maminis too. And that's when the Gemara for the first time uses the expression l'kiyume milsa, almost as if it was inspired to say, oh, no hodas baldin because of chav lachrini, i.e. a kind of l'kiyume milsa idea, right? And then the Gemara says, no, this is only going to apply, you know, to Ishus. Or maybe the Gaonim of the Raivin would say, maybe to, you know, Kinyan Sudar in Maminus. Or we might think that for some Rishonim, maybe for Shtar, you know, in certain circumstances. But typically, Kinyanim, it's, you know, it's Hodas Baldin, Kime Edim Dami, unless it's technically not, in which case, if there's a dispute, you're going to settle it through Lo Yibri Sahadi El Lashakri. Right, but for that same reason, you don't need a guarantee of birur. If people want to risk, you know, confusion, then they have every right to do that. It's only dine mamadis anyway. There's no concept of l'kiyume milsa in dine mamadis, or if there is, it's a very, very limited concept. Okay, so those are the two ways I think to read broadly the Gemara in Kiddushin. So, Rabbeinu Tam, as I said before, you know, I think read it the second way. Rabbeinu Tam saying, listen, you have Eidei Chasima. Now, Eidei Chasima are Birur. That's the whole point. Right? Actually, for Bali Tosis, you know, in sharp contrast to the RIP, because we've been charting all of their, you know, conversations, right, these multi-generational, you know, cross-continental, you know, discussion that everybody's been having. So for the Baalei Tosis, like Rabbeinu Ephraim, you know, the scope of Reish Lakish, Enamat Sumal Ashtar Nasa Kimishanakra, just in the desert, the Tikkun Olam, you know, that works. Even for Rabbi Eliezer, that works. Right? Kol Shekein, it works for Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't think it's Eide Kasim Akar Sad only a Kenyan. You know, on the contrary, it's always good raya when you have Eide Kasim. So from a raya point of view, is that like Hodas Baldin Kameidim Nami? You know, that's Chav Lachrini. What's the problem of Chav Lachrini? You have a raya through the Eidus Shabishtar. And if anything, as I said, for Rabbi Meir, you know, that's even, if they think that's true for Rabbi Meir's, I'm sorry, for the Eide Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, right, then, you know, Kol Shekein that it's true for Rabbi Meir's, frankly. If you needed, you know, Kiyum only as Raya, you know, I think it's even an interesting question to ask, you know, from the perspective of, you know, the Rif and the Rambam, frankly, if they would work. I mean, the issue in the Rif in particular is that, you know, Eide Kiyum aren't going to function. Eide Chasima are not going to function even as Raya, you know, for the Kinyan if they can't accomplish the Kinyan. Okay. But Lu Yitzuyer, they could. It might be very ironic that you'd need, like, you know, Eide Masira, you know, for the Shtar, right? And you maybe can get away with Eide Chasima for Eide Kiyum. If all you needed in Eide Kiyum was to neutralize Hodas Baldin and Chav Lachrini, you know, and to objectify the secure Raya. Okay. This is all theoretical, because it just isn't so. I mean, according to the Rif and the Rambam, Eide Chasima actually worked for Rabbi Eliezer, and they work even for Croesus, and so on. So basically, that's where I'm coming to the point that, you know, that Rabbeinu Tam seems to be clearly assuming that the function of Eide Kiyum is their presence. And he seems to be learning the Gemara in Kiddushin as a 180-degree turn. Okay? And therefore, he's saying, well, you know, Eide Chasima just don't qualify. Even though they're great as Raya, they're stronger for Raya, you know, in the opinion of Baalei Tosis, you know, than they are even for the Rambam and the Rif, in some respects. Right? If you had that abstract case, you know, what would happen if you held this way, and that way, etc. Nonetheless, that's not Eide Kiyum. So now, when we come to the Chachmei Sfarad, when we say Rif and the Rambam, we have two options. Right? One is, that's what I mean, one is that they're saying in Achanami, if you needed presence, you don't have that. But who says you need presence? It wasn't a 180-degree turn in Kiddushin. It was a 90-degree turn, something like that. Meaning we're fine-tuning, you know, the concept of Birur. Instead of saying Odos Baldin, we think you need Edim, and we think you can't risk it. That's all included in the words Chav Lachrini. Okay? But what's wrong with Eide Chasima? And frankly, then the Eide Chasima, you don't need any, you know, a strong, like, association of Eide Chasima with the Mesira. You know, you don't need to say, oh, you know, these are the Eide Chasima, you know, of Rabbi Eliezer, not the Eide Chasima, you know, of Rabbi Meir. But once you have the Ran, right, who says that the Eide Chasima are Eide Mesira, so, on the one hand, that doesn't give you physical presence, that's clear, but, you know, he repeats it, you know, and is struggling with the formulation enough, as we discussed, So is he really saying in the end that the Raya Shabo, the Tziruf to the Raya, you know, kind of, you know, leaves its mark on the it's a Mesira Shemitzurefes, you know, Lirayas, you know, Ede HaChasima. Is that good enough if you would need a kind of real Ede Kiyum idea? Would that be good enough? Hard to know. But maybe, you know, it's a, or does he mean it's like virtual Ede Mesira? And that virtual Ede Mesira is a presence? Is it a steer to say the words virtual Ede Mesira is a presence? You know, what do we mean by a presence? That's what I mean by the pop-out, you know, idea. Or, you know, is he really, you know, just, you know, that's not part of the Ede Kiyum story. Again, the Ram says a lot. You know, he tells us how this halacha impacts, you know, things. But it's just very interesting, for example, that the Xos, we'll read inside in a minute, in Reish Mem Aleph, you know, invokes actually the Ran for his view, you know, of Ede Kiyum, which is the Birur idea. Okay, so those, I think, are the two perspectives. So let's talk a little bit more about Ede Kiyum, the Ede Kiyum part of it. The Rabbeinu Tam versus some of the other Rishon. So the strongest formulation, I say, of that idea that Ede Kiyum is a qualitatively totally different, you know, category, and is the Ritva. Okay? So what is the Ritva? Ezra? Saw it? The one in Kiddushin? You saw it? He says what? Yeah. Do you have language there? He has two nafkamina. This is like a very famous ritva. It's, by the way, the ritva b'shem ha-ra'ah. You know, we don't have the ra'ah on kiddushin. But once again, it's a point that I like to make. It's true. The ra'ah doesn't get sufficient credit. The ra'ah was like a very... You know, when we have the Ra'ah, we know this. If you have the Ra'ah, we have the Ra'ah in Ksuvis, we have the Ra'ah in Chulin, we have the Ra'ah in, you know, in Bedek Habayis, you know, commenting on Torah Habayis. You know, wherever we have the Ra'ah, we know what a huge Mechadish he was. I mean, we just saw the Ra'ah in Ksuvis the other day. So, half of the Ritvas that are Mechidashim are also Ra'ahs. When the Ritva quotes his Rebbe, sometimes he says explicitly, you know, that it's the Ra'ah. But if he just says, like, you know, Moriva Rabbi or something like that, he typically doesn't mean the Rajba. The Rajba was also Rebbe, but on the whole, he means the Ra'ah. And a lot of these Kiddushim really come from the Ra'ah. So this is another example. You have it, Ezra? Go ahead. Well, first of all, what are the two nafkamina? Do you need to say atemedai? Or no, what's the point of saying atemedai? What's the concern? Which is why at a wedding, typically, the Masada Kedushin always, you know, instructs the chasan, right, to be memana the edim, yichuda edim it's called, atemedai, right? To eliminate the problem or the potential problem of Eidah Shabbat Mitzvah Sabbat Lakula. So the Ritva's Chiddush is what? Ezra, that what? What's the background for that? We're going to read it inside in just a second, but just the outside. What's the background of the Ritva's or the Ra'az Chiddush here? I mean, there's a general machlokes among the Rishonim. We'll talk about it in the next semester. We talk a little bit, you know, about Enei Nasadayan a little bit. Comes up there as well. Meaning, what's the Hagdara of an Eid? What makes an Eid an Eid? There are two critical moments in Eidos. One is, what are the two critical moments, typically? One is the Re'iya, and that's obvious. V'hu Eid, you know, or Ra'a Yada. So what's the second? Exactly. So there's the event itself that he witnessed. Obviously, that's the first and the crucial, the re'iya, right? And then the second one is, you know, his function, Haggadah. So this is a big, a huge machlokas. So Rishonim, you know, how do you define a name? And there are like three, there are more, but three major topics that this affects. We'll examine them again when we get to Eidan, you know, Eidan Asadayan. But one is Eidan Shabbat Mitzatzah Batla Kula. That's the sugya in Makos, you know, mostly what? In the end of the first parak, right? Above them in Aleph. The other is what? Anybody know the other? The others? Ein Eid Nasadayim. Right? The idea of wearing two hats. We'll talk about that. Because again, what does it mean? If you were an Eid Re'iyah, therefore you can't be a Dayan, or you can't be a Dayan and an Eid Hameyid. Right? That's a question. And what's the third one? Chilas of a Sof of Akashas. Correct. That's the sugya in Bava Basra and Kufchav Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if you used to be Pasal Yedus and then you became Kasher, right? Like, let's say, you know, B'shas Re'iya, you were a Karov, you know, and then you were Nisrachek, right? So, B'shas Haggadah, can you come to Bezin and testify or not? The Gemara says, Who ate or raw yada, etc. You know, ad sheyia, you have to be tchilaso v'sofo b'kashrus, right? Good. So, anyways, so typically there's a major debate among the Rishonim, Rashi, in Makos, the Rashbam, and we'll talk more about it. Rashbam in Bavasra, that what they hold basically, you know, shasri. Right, where the Gemara says in Makos, like the Nechsa Sisu or the Sudeya Sisu, right? So, Bimekaime Dover Akasa Medaber. So, Bali, you know, Rashi, mostly in the Rashbam and a few others, they say, no, an Eid is defined by Shasri'iyah. And the Bali Tosis and most of the Chachmei Sfarad disagree, and they think, you know, that the Shas HaGadah Bebezdin is the chemo. Very critical argument. Ah, so, if do you need. Do you have a problem of Eidan Shabbat Mitzvah Batla Kula such that you would require Atem Eidah Yichud Eidim to exclude that problem at the chuppah, or only if there's some dispute later on, you know, and it comes to court? Ah. So what is the mitzvah in the name of the Ra say? You have the language? Yeah. Just a little louder, so I can. This is on. Where is this, Ezra? On Daf Mem Gimel in Kiddushin. Correct. Yeah, on the Sugya of Shliach Nasa Eid. So you can understand the connection there also. The second parak of Kiddushin, the Gemara discusses whether or not, you know, just like we're going to discuss Eid Nasa Dayan, right, the wearing of two hats, you know, multiple hat wearing. So, Shliach Nasa Eid. We'll talk about it anyway, because we're also talking about Shliach Laholacha a little bit. Can Shliach Olacha also be an aid? That's a big issue. Can he serve two functions at the same time? Right? So in that context, right, the question is dealt with a little bit. Bahavadai lo efshar de b'mamon hu de b'ina na temedai, right, kadesh le yomar m'shata yisibach, o lo lahazbiya satsmo asisi. Yeah, you have it there, but Kiddushin. Which is the way that the Rishonim who rejected Rashi and Rashbam, you know, they said, oh, when do you ask him this? You know, you ask him that when he comes to court. He said to him, did you, when you saw it, were you thinking of, you know, Or you're here? Are you lemetzi asinon, or are you here to test or lasude asinon? Right. Therefore, that sounds like it's an inim bezdin in Haggadah. So this is, of course, unbelievable. This language. But right, that's also just the principle itself. What he's really saying is that the hagdara of an aid is different in aid ishus than it is in nefashos or mamon.
In Mamor Nefashos, the Eidos is B'shas Agada, the Shem Eid. And in Ishus, it's B'shas Re'iyah. So now, why would that be? I mean, obviously, that's a huge qualitative difference. So now he's explaining it. It's not Ba'al Ames HaDabar Bilvad, right? Meaning, this is a formal requirement. This has to do something about some unusual aspect, you know, of Ishus. Meaning, this is not a pragmatic need to clarify, you know, to be Mavarer. Even if there was no Bira requirement, or if the Bira requirement could be accomplished otherwise, you would still require Edim as Exeris HaKasuv, right? Even though it's funny that it's Exeris HaKasuv a little bit, because, like, where's Exeris HaKasuv? Right? Yeah. Anyway, but what he means by Exeris HaKasuv is, meaning this is a formal requirement, not a pragmatic one. It's about building the definition of the Ishus. Right? That's why I call it solemnizing presence, or a way of kind of injecting, you know, a certain, like, elevating what takes place, the stature of what takes place. You know, it's not, there's no function, or it's not functional. It is, right, definitional. Yeah, go ahead. The Kivan Zikain. It's their presence. Yeah. The Kivan Zika. But that's, of course, shocking, because there, that they're serving their function of Eidos, the function that we know. So what basically the Ritva is assuming, or saying in the name of the Ra, is that there's a function here too. It's just not the function of Haggadah, or Biror, it's the function of Nochachut, of presence, right, of lending prestige, of formalizing what looks like a Maisa of the Mimela, like this, oh, there's an action. And we need to know what happened because there are consequences. No, more than that. We, you know, the fact that there are consequences, you know, is a reflection of the transformative nature of the, you know, of the transaction, of this, you know, chalos, call it, right? And it's that, you know, which generates the need for Avis. Okay, keep going. That's the Ra'a. Halacha l'maisa. Where, you know, typically people are machmir for that. Yeah, this is a sensational Ra'a. It's just very well, this one is very well known, but yeah. Aval ein ze das ha'mefarshim, right? V'roi l'achmir. The chain, another one. Let's say they're no psulim. So you're not going to say atameda. So then you might think, like, if you need to say atameda, then you have to have a visible presence of the edim. Right? Otherwise, you can't say atameda, right? So, but let's say there are no, you know, there are no, you know, like, they're getting married. Why would they invite their relatives? Right? So of course, there are no relatives here, you know, like a COVID wedding, right? But like a reverse COVID wedding. Okay, so, yeah, so now, let's say, you know, the whole, you know, Cracker Jack, you know, syndrome. I tried this before, but, okay. Anybody? Nobody familiar? Cracker Jacks. They don't have them anymore at all? They do have Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
It used to be back in the day that they had, like, little, like, you know, little, like, rings or a gift. You know, everybody would buy the Cracker Jacks for $1,000 because there was like a 15-cent little ring inside. Anyway, but it used to be known that, like, you know, oh, all these people would go to camp in the summer, you know, and there'd be all these, you know, Cracker Jack, you know, weddings taking place. So, anyway, it's like a known thing. Anyways, the Baruch Hashem, I guess, you know, doesn't happen anymore. So, yeah. So those, what about Lafuke Hitmin Edim? Like, you know, he's the, you know, the you know, this one's proposing to that one, you know, as a lark or not as a lark, but, you know, there are no Krovim, So why not? What about Edim Achore? The Edim are Tmunim Achore Ageder. Right? The witnesses are, because they know you need witnesses now, because they learned the Gemara in Kedushin. I'm okay. Right? And, right, so, you know, he has his best friends, or his worst friends, you know, depending on, you know, what it really is, you know. So they're standing achori ageder. So there was a Maisa Kedushin with a Shabbat Pruta, right? And they're aided. So is that good or not? So was there a rash of Cracker Jack summer camp marriages in the time of the Ra'ah? I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, there was a takana, all kidding aside, that at a certain point in different medieval communities, that, you know, you should require a minyan for a wedding. And that it would even be ma'akev, and some people actually had apkin rabban l'kiddushin minays, because people were, you know, trying to climb the social and the economic, you know, ladder, you know, by, you know, marrying, you know, economically, you know, above their station. So it became a rash of, you know, became a bit of an issue. So in certain communities, it was like a takana that you can't get married without a minyan. Like, people were eloping, I guess. You just find two edim, you know, and then, you know, it becomes, all of a sudden, he's part of the, you know, most prestigious family in town, you know, and, you know, obviously that's, you know, very inappropriate. So, you know, there were situations where, you know, this kind of problem of secretive or surreptitious weddings, you know, where there are people, there are, you know, I won't say creative minds, but, you know, there are challenges. Yeah. Anyway, so what about Hitmin Edim Achore Ageder? So what does Ritva say? In the name of the Ra'ah? There's also sensational Chiddush. Right? They're there, and they're present. The parties either don't know about it, or at least one of the parties doesn't know about it. Right? It's also interesting to think whether it would make a difference whether it was the Baal or the Isha, you know, or not yet the Baal and the Isha, but the man and the woman, in terms of the kind of das that each one, you know, needs, etc. But the, you know, the Ra'ah doesn't, you know, go there, because he thinks it's part of a much more core issue. Namely, you need Eide Kiyum, but you need Eide Kiyum of L'Kiyum E'Milsa, right? Not for Birur purposes, but for the Hagdara. So if they don't know, you know, if they're present physically, but they're not prominently or objectively discernible, they're not known to the Chasan and Kala, maybe by definition, right, that's not called Eide Kiyum. That's the Chiddush that he has. Go ahead. Meaning a dabar shagufa dabar tzarech edus, right? Meaning it's part of the definition. This doesn't qualify. Their surreptitious presence, right, is insufficient. Correct? Yeah. Ella, the dabar shatzarech edus mishum shikra. Meaning if we needed to know whether this thing happened or not, they're there. They can testify to that. It's not hodos baldin. Right? But if we need their prominent presence as part of to lend solemnity and stature to establish that this is more than what we're seeing, it's a transcendent chalos, it's a yisiris ha-chalos, then maybe their presence needs to be barur, you know, umuchach, umufurash. Right? Yeah, keep going. Elabishvil shalohi sham edim. Right? Kispur shalo ilu ma'asecha. Yeah. Of course, Misha Natal Kinyan L'Chaveiro, go ahead. That's a different thing. What about, you know, Ksivas Hashtar? You know, in Mechoria Geder, like if there's, that's an interesting question to go on our Stam Kinyan L'Ksiva Omeid list. Is that really true? that depends a lot on what we discussed at the time. Meaning, is the din of stam kinyan l'ksiba omed or kinyan b'fnei shamein tzarech lomar ksuvos because it's an umdana? In which case, if they don't know that there are edim there, that's also going to be a problem, right? Or is it a din because of dasa miskayev, right? And then, but still, then there would be a question, because maybe the dasa miskayev, you know, again. So if you need a kiyum, we'll put it this way: if it was dasa miskayev and you have that, you know, and that's what allows you to produce a shtar, that would be fine. So that really, that, you know, isn't such a davar pashut at all, what the Ra says. If you held like the Gaonim of the Ravid, namely that you need a kiyum on Kinyan Sudar, that would be an interesting question. Right? Would it be exactly like the Kiyum Emel Salvishus? Right? Or maybe there are two, you know, notions, you know, of the Kiyume Milsa, one for Dine Mamanis, one for Dine Nefashas. I mean, one for Dine Ishas. Anyway, this is a very interesting question. Then in the end, he says also there's the possibility of Meshatani Bach, right? Okay, look at that part. That part is, you know, that's the second part. So this is a sensational Reva, basically. But I'm suggesting that Reva Tam holds something like that. I don't know if he holds all of these things, but he may hold, you know, these are two important nafkini. So this is also Reb Chaim's, you know, view in Hosiva Mechalitza. Yeah, you saw it? Yeah? So what's the background of the of Reb Chaim? And by the way, we already encountered it a little bit, you know, in Perek Gimel Hilchaseidus Halacha Dalet. Because the initial suggestion there that Reb Chaim said, "Oh, mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam," no, that's a problem for Edei Birur. Remember in Gimel Dalet, right? That's a problem in Edei Birur. Why? Because Edei Birur, you know, is about, you know, Haggadah Bebezdin, you know, and mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam is a Haggadah problem. But for Edei Kiyum purposes, he says maybe the presence is what you, the Gabra Edim being Nochach is what's important. So, you know, maybe that's not a problem, you know, in a case of, you know, Mipiyam. They were present, right? We don't really care so much. Then Reb Chaim kind of turns it all, you know, in the other direction and says, well, actually, maybe that might be worse because they're not really present at the Maisa, they're only present at the Dasa Miskayim. But of course, the idea even to contemplate that you know, that this would be a proper distinction is l'shitaso, that edikiyum work differently than, like, if the point of edikiyum was that they're guaranteed edibirur, this wouldn't be true. I mean, that possibility wouldn't be true. And I think Asher pointed out to me, and Natan also, who's, you know, out there, but it's totally true. If you look at some of the earlier, like, versions, that was the one. Where's Asher? He's here, right? So that's the one that's on Mem Omid Aleph. Yeah. So in the Shiure Reb Chaim Halevi in Bava Basra, on Mem Omid Aleph. Why Mem Omid Aleph? Because that's where we have Stam Kinyan L'Ksiva Omed and the Tosis, right, about Das and Mischaya. So Reb Chaim also, the presentation's a little bit different. Maybe we'll talk about this at some other time, but not. And where's the other one? The one with the Nota Behuda? In the Togbuch. And in Hilchos Eidos? Or in Ksuvos Chaf? Yeah. So he has two interesting, or probably more, pieces where you can see the earlier, and this was a Natan wrote me a note also, you know, asking me if I could discuss this at some point. So I will discuss it more fully at one point. But if you want to see like a more formative, like an earlier version of Reb Chaim before some of the shtaros parts were more developed, both of those pieces, the shiurim which were in Velazhin and the Togbuch, what do we call the Togbuch, the published name? Oh, Kisvei, right. So so those are like more nesiva sounding, he quotes that Nota Behuda, you know, but again, not the way than it appears in the piece on Chol Shem Mishpat, you know, about the difference between, you know, how to explain the Rambam and Hilchos Eidos. It's a much more, you could, between those pieces and what got published in the Chidushim, and even more so the Mipi HaShmua from the family, you could see really, it's a great example of, you know, the evolution or the trajectory, you know, of Reb Chaim's thinking in Shtaros, like in a much more conceptual way. Like the earlier things are more Hekatimtzi answers, more Nesivas-esque in thinking, and I think that is totally true. Anyways, that's the Hilchos Eidos Perek Gimel, but that part of it actually is in the, I mean, the part about distinguishing between Eidei Kiyum and Eidei Biror as a Habba, I mean, that wasn't the one on Mem Amud Aleph, right? Yeah. Okay, so we're right. Yeah.
For Sulim, it's understandable why Krovim shouldn't be able to function as like Eidei Kiyum, mm-hmm. but like for Sulim that are more connected to like Haggadah's status,
what do you mean more connected
to? Let's say if you ask who you assume Sulim of like Isha is, as an Eid, is more connected to like Haggadah Bevezdin, or a Seed of Haggadah, could you consider expanding who we consider qualify as like an
A. I mean, why are you assuming that one is more and the other is less?
I'm not, between
Krovim and Psulim.
I can ask you in just a broader way. You know, it's like, would the same little plugs that we extend?
I mean, you're saying like this, and that's a Sanhedrin question, or a Sanhedrin Makos question, which I don't want to get to now. Meaning, are the different Psule Eidos themselves, just like we're in the Chalek, let's say, between the Shem Eid, you know, let's say Re'iyah or Haggadah, and then the Ritva of B'Shem Ra'az, expanding this like enormously by saying, oh, you know, Eidei Kiyum are Shas Re'iyah. Like a very appealing sheet, I want to hear it, this, but very Mechudash, because he has no Rayas for it, he just, you know, it's Misvara, but it's an amazing, compelling Svara. So too, I think, if I understand you, Josh is saying, well, you know, maybe there's a difference between Krovim and Psul, or between Isha to Isha or Ebed or something like that, maybe different, you know, in terms of Batla Matasa, Batla Kula, things like that. Maybe, you know, some people their shame aid is the problem, and other people their ability to be made bedezin. And I think it comes from, you know, way back when we discussed this, especially Krovim. You know, there's this good reason to think that the problem of Krovim, since they're not intrinsically pasuliedas, they're more, it's more like, you know, we'll get to that again when we talk about Ein Nas Adayin. So it's, but you know, it's more like a Kabbalah Seidus problem. Like, you know, oh, we're not going to accept their testimony, you know, and the result of which will be that this person's fate depends on the Eidus of their Karo. Not because they're intrinsic, but maybe their Re'iyah isn't really a problem. So maybe the Nochachut, you know, that's what I think you're asking. So I think that there's a lot of, I don't think there's any evidence for it, but it makes it logically, just like these other distinctions make sense. Like if it would solve a problem, or we could find somebody, you know, authority to say it, it makes sense.
It's going to be hard to find people to say it if it's like a mitzvah.
You know. I've never come across anybody who said it. I've thought about it, clearly. As have you, and I think if you ask me, Misvara, would that have made sense as a place to draw lines? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I wish we could hear the
for example, there are other nafkamina, right? Meaning, but not, you know, things like Kiblu Alai, and that we did discuss back whenever we discussed it. Meaning, can Kiblu Alai be makshir anything and anybody? Like, there's also one issue, is Chavil Reza Tartil Reza. That's one thing. But what about, can it be makshir a non-Jew? Like that's the Ramban Alatov, you know what I'm saying? Who says no. Can it be makshir Isha? Right? Can it be makshir? And it's not a question of how mufka the person is, it's maybe why they're mufka. And maybe sometimes if it's more innocuous, actually, and, you know, then there's less you can do with it, not more. So, like things like Kiblu Alai or other things mm-hmm. like that, you know, or are you going to say, I mean, one of them we discussed before also, like typically we have the Mishnah in the Nida establishes a relationship between Eidos and Dayonis. Like whoever's possible, Eidos is certainly possible to Dayonis. And this is like the big issue in the Baalei Tosis when they talk about Devorah and whether women can be a Dayan or not. So they say, like, you know, If women are psulos, you know, eidos, then certainly they have to be psulos the dayanos, kol shekein, because that's what the Mishnah seemed to say in Nida. And yet, Devorah seemed to be a dayan. So one of the answers that's given is more like, again, most Rishonim think she, Devorah, was ad hoc. You know, it wasn't really dayanos. That's by far, far the majority in the halachic, you know, opinion. However, the Bali Tosas who disagree, they say things like, wow, this equation between Avis and Dayanus, you know, it's not irrespective of the reason for the Psul Avis, right? Maybe it depends on the type of Psul that we're talking about. So, you know, when it comes to Isha, for example, she's not Pasul because she's not Naman, or she's not Pasul because she's not competent. She's Pasul, you know, it's Exeris HaKasuv, you know, it's based on Kol Kvuda Ba, I'm adding. Kabas Melech Pnima, we don't want to have to force her to come to court, so therefore we don't, you know, we can't have both ways, things of that sort. And therefore, you know, the rule, you know, in terms of excluding from Dayanus doesn't apply. So, and what I'm trying to say is, both in Kibbul Olai and in that, and probably in a few other things, the difference, you know, Psule Edus might matter. So if you said to me logically, based on the, if you wanted to take the Ra'ah idea like a step further, and say, oh, maybe the difference between Krovim and Psulim. Then you'd have, like, you know, you'd have to be miyached only for one and not for the other. So if you ask me, does that make sense according to certain... I think it does. I've never encountered it. I suspect... that I don't think the evidence will ever make it compelling. And therefore, you know, I think it's questionable. The Ra'ah, I think, was really motivated, you know, by his reading, in my opinion. The Ritva doesn't say this. This is my speculation. By his reading of the Gemara in Samech Eilmed Beis in Kiddushin, and by the words Likiyume, which ironically, as we've noted, only come up in the Dini Maminus case. But if you read it the way that I was suggesting before, way number two, it's like the Gemara is saying, "Ah, there's a concept of Kiyum. That's what Chavla Achrini means." And by the way, let me make this clear. I think I alluded to it before. I have no evidence that Reb Chaim or the Ra'ah, you know, reads Chavla Achrini this way. That's my very strong conviction. Okay, I just people are have over. The, I've seen people raise the question: if you hold like Eidei Kiyum, whatever. So how do you explain Chav Lachrini? Chav Lachrini sounds like a more of a technical and a narrower problem, right? So my answer is no. That's and we'll see Nafkami in a minute. But that's what Chav Lachrini means. Chav Lachrini for the Ra'ah, for Reb Chaim, for Rabbeinu Tam, is a way of saying, you know, to create an Eishes Ish is not just a kinyan. You know, and you need a solemnizing presence to elevate it, to give it transcendence, all that, because it's Chav Lachrini. You know, she becomes an Eishes Ish. You know, the Krovim are affected, the world is affected. This isn't, you know, something that, not just, oh, there's a lot at stake, therefore we need Tzorech Biur. You know, we need to, you know, put this in quotations. This is a new assumption of a new status and stature. So that's how I'm interpreting the Chavla. So I think the Ra'ah, what I'm trying to say is, I think the Reb Chaim, I think this Rabbeinu Tam, if I'm reading it correctly, I think, where do they get it from? Like he said, Gzeiras HaKasuv, but there's no Gzeiras HaKasuv, right? They get, in my opinion, they get it from the word Lekiyume as a continuation in the Gemara, and the understanding of what Chav Lachrini is a 180-degree turn from the Havla Mina of the Gemara. So I think there's a good source for it. I think it's at least a 50-50. I think it's a 60-40 better reading of the Gemara in Kedusha, frankly. But to say what you want to say, which is about, oh, maybe it'll be Mechalik bin Krovim and Psulim or Isha or whatever, in terms of that quest. Misvara, I think there are other sources and nafkaminas that would support such a potential distinction. But I don't think that you have any evidence anywhere compelling enough with regard to this. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, I'm guessing, you know, aside from speculation, you're not really going
to
find
it. What I'm also just trying to get Rebbe's opinion on is, like, what of Eidos is left in Eidei Kiyum? In other words, like,
so I mean, in the end of the day, it would be strange. I mean, I raised the possibility before, basically Reb Chaim raised the possibility that, you know, you could have Eidei Kiyum that don't work, you know, for Eidei Biur. That's, I mean, in Paragimah Halacha Dalet, we have to talk about Ishus now, right? We're going to right? This can be one. I mean, Ibum. So yeah. So that is an interesting irony, because typically we think that Eidei Kiyum requires more, and Reb Chaim was saying it could require less. Now, is that svar? Is that? I'll give you another example in a minute. But is that logical? Can that be? Yeah, it could be. So, but on the other hand, the idea that Begabra, at least, you need somebody who, if he came to court, would quick testify, is very logical. I mean, the default logic is that Eidei Kiyum requires more than Eidei Biur, number one. Even if it can require less in a technical way, it would be for a technical reason. That's what Reb Chaim wanted to say before he realized that applying that to Shtar is kind of, you know, paradoxical, right? If the whole point is that, you know, that the person, you know, is just a signature on a piece of paper at that point, right? So it's certainly lacking in presence even more than it's lacking in Birur. So to say, which I think is what you're trying to say, oh, maybe Psulim would be okay. I don't think you'd ever say that. Again, the only way to say it would be something like, oh, it's a Kabbalah Seder's problem. Then it would be similar to what Reb Chaim's distinction is. But since objectively it's a Kabbalah, not a technical Kabbalah Seder's problem, I would still think that that is sufficiently undercuts the Shemaid.
Wait, why does transcendence require Eidos? Why not require Maizeh Bezdin? Or why not?
I don't know. Well, I mean, again, some people think a Geirushin does, but I don't know the answer to that question, except that, again, I'm reconstructing, you know, backwards. So do I think it makes sense to draw the line at Eidos as opposed to Bezdin? Sure. If I found shitas that said, oh, Kiddushin requires a Bezdin, there are shitas that say the Geirushin requires a Bezdin, then I would understand them from a transcendence point of view, too.
Why
is
that it didn't Eidos?
Well, I mean, Eidos is a hugely I mean, you know, it's a formalizing the presence. It's like, you know, oh, in the secular world, like, you know, when they say, you know, when they talk about it, they would say, you know, will you stand up for me? Yeah? Or am I making this up? No one's ever heard that expression? Like, you know, you say to your best friend, right? You know, instead, okay, we know these cultural things. Okay, you know, you know, will you stand up for me? Will you stand up for me? It's Eidei Kiyum. No, meaning there's a certain, right, when you require, it's like, you know, when you require, except it's ridiculous. I mean, so it's not such a good, it's a good example in theory. Like, you know, certain documents require notary. Right? It's just ridiculous because what doesn't, and the people who are notaries, it just makes zero sense. But what does it mean to notarize? Right? Like, this is the person, he's got a little stempel, and he's, he puts the thing, and you pay him all the money, and then he fills it out. Like, what is that? Right? That's it formalizes a document. Right? So that, and this, you know, will you stand up? You know, not with me, for me. If it was with me, let's say company, make sure I don't run away, stand up for me. Right. No, it's you know, and Eidos is prominence. You know, we speak about the Torah as Eidos. You know, and Eidim are all powerful. You know, Eidos is has a huge, connotation in Halakha. So, is it completely unrelated to the fact that if we need them, they'll come to court, and that there's a guarantee? But it's more than that for these Rishon. Okay. Yibum, what's the background? A little bit?
Well,
for the Chaim and...
Look in the Mishnah, has a question on the Ramadan. The Gemara Yibum seems to say that the Felisa only work with their Eidim, while Ramadan seems to pass on that even if there are no Eidim, still...
Even if it's a chalitza beino levena, that at least with regard to the brothers, the chalitza it's a chalitza psula, but it's a chalitza which is poseles, the brothers, for the Eidim.
Right.
Yeah, so the question is, exactly what you said, excellent, that, there's no Eidos here. Yeah. So what does Reb Chaim say about it?
That, you don't, according to only Rabbi Kiva, requires the prior Eidim for...
Oh, so you have the line there just very quickly. You don't need Eidim by Chalitza. Sheyir Loma B'dasa Rambam, right? You can skip a little bit. Tamba Zanira. Here's where in the Chibur he has his clearest statement about this point. Go ahead.
The Tan Bazenira. Damishim the Tinu Trey Gavni Idios Padabash of Erba. So there's no great time on the lower Rusadi El Lashak.
Yeah, so those, I think some of you learned Ksuvas last year, so you'll hopefully recall, right? That Ksuvas, the Gemara Habamina there too, that if there was Nus and no one saw it, that it doesn't qualify, for Iser or for Onesh. Very shocking, there's formal Nus and that requires the presence of Eidim, right? But then the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. We don't say that. Just a Raya quote, If you can't punish, without a raya, but if it happened, then they know it happened, then of course it happened. Right. So that's, it's worth noting the havamina, but that's not the maskana. Go ahead. The bemes neseres gam
b'lo eidim. The bemes neseres gam b'lo eidim. The gittin mekidushin al yedei ha'edim hushem mekaima milsa.
Oh, so notice the language here, mekaima milsa. And again, I'm just repeating the same thing, but it's, not everybody's so discerning. So the Gemara actually never uses the expression edikium regarding edus isha. It only is in the next Gemara in the Habamina about the Choshev Ishbat case. But that we call them, I don't know when that first began, it's probably easy to trace. I just never bothered to actually trace it. It would be interesting. But, the idea that we call them edikium, is... That alone doesn't have to mean you're taking a position on these things, but it's certainly very suggestive, and that's certainly what Reb Chaim is saying. So, Mekaima Milsa. Okay, Kedekaimalon. Kedekaimalon,
the Mekadis, we have a garish below it, and we'll have a use of the garish. The Athilic, Shebine, and Pahad. It is not, Vesir Bamimila, Vesir Bamimila.
I mean, the Mesa is the Oser. Okay, that's what it means, Mimela. I mean, it's a physical, the physical activity. Causes the illegal result. Okay, lo ibrisadi al shakr. Whoa! What is that? Habal hu sheosa etza magir. What is that? What do you think it is? I'm just saying, I'm dramatizing. Don't let me. Meaning he's saying something. Just the language is great. I'll try to show. It's not the Ritva's language. It's a little bit different. But what is he really saying? He's saying it isn't the physical, it's not the Maisa Gerushin, the Maisa Kedushin. It's the Baal, creating the Schalos through the action. It's a transcendent, transformative action that with his Das and in the presence of Eidim, he is Ose Etzem HaGerushin VaKedushin. Right? Go ahead.
Al-Korchach.
Right, because again, it's not the fact that it happened. It's their presence is what allows him to be Osevis, to create this chalos. Yeah. Ulefiza.
Ulefiza, Tsarf Ion de Chalitza. Tevon, de Chazina de Pligit Nai de Yavamasa, Kotayam Vinis, de Kana Shalpalza, in Chalitza Chalitza in Mok. Matheus Metharashes, Mavur Bimar Da.
Yeah, basically he just goes on to try to, he looks into Cheresh v'Chareshes, Katan and Ktana, and what he's trying to show is, in the continuation also, what's one of his, he says, it seems like the problem is a problem of, whether it's Kriya or not, whether you can say Beis Kalutza now, and you can practice, you can partially fix the problem by what?
Having Beis
in... Not Beis in, but Gonolome Dolgaba. What is going to? He's saying, "How come?" So he wants. It's a great piece, He said, "Like, how come in Kiddushin we don't find that a katan could get married if a gadol was omei no gaba, right? Or a ktana could be niskareshes, if a gadol was omei no gaba?" So that's where Reb Chaim comes to the conclusion. He says, "No, because there are two different issues here." But by doing this, he also links it up with something very important. Meaning, what he's saying is that Gadol Omer El Gabav is a practical solution to a practical problem. Namely, you don't have enough das. So, in the case, and you want to make sure that people are aware of what they're doing, that they're doing it in a, you know, a way that is, you know, reflects, you know, some sort of ascent. So, so, you know what, you can compensate for that. But, you know, where you need Eidei Kiyum, you also need not just Ratzon, right, or Haskama, whatever you want to call it, language doesn't matter so much, but you need Das, meaning you have to have, because you're trying to create something that is more than the physical. You're not just, oh, you did a physical action, and, you know, you didn't do it, it wasn't onus, and it wasn't nisaseik, right? But what's the koveya? The physical action, the maisa, the mimela. So when it comes to yibum, is also an issue. Chalitza, it's a maisa, the mimela, but it has to be baratzon. So then, okay, you know, gon lomin ogabav, you know, you can maybe test the chareisha, see, you know, how much competence there is. But when it comes to gittin v'kiddushin, anything that requires eidei kiyum, i.e., it's a transcendent action, it's a yitzira sakalos, it's baal oseh es hamatzav, or whatever it is, for that, you can't get compensation, because it just requires a certain stature or level of das in order to... So that's the link, that's an important piece in this Reb Chaim, that's the link between das and level of das and katan and ktana and the kiyum that we were talking about when we were talking about, you know, kinyan sudar. This is the link between those two ideas. Okay, so basically what... Then he talks about yiyud, the rest of it is, I mean, it's all fascinating, but, you know, I don't want to get too far afield. So this is the Ritva, this is Rabbeinu Tam, the Ritva name of the Rav, this is Rabbeinu Tam, this is Reb Chaim. Just to contrast it, I'm going to try to stop in a minute, we'll finish with this on Sunday. Just contrast it with three, you know, on three sides. Number one, the Rabbeinu Tam. Again, if you're, you know, what about the Ritva, the Rambam, those who are called it? So I say, either they're cholek about Eidei Chasima, which I think in light of the Ran is very possible, and I think you could, although I don't think it's so obvious, but I think it's doable, depending on how you understand, you know, exactly what the Ran means, you know, you're either going to get the best, you know, or the closest you can get to something that isn't contradictory, but it's called a virtual Eidei Kiyum Nochachut, or the worst. Meaning, if you take like the Nesivus's approach, which is also the Xos's approach of the Ran, you know, then there's no, all it is Raya and Umdana. Like you have Anansadi. Anansadi is not a presence. Anansadi is, you know, is an ironclad, you know, Raya, maybe, correct? So depending on how, like, I think there are, you know, I've discussed three, maybe there are more, but like three levels of understanding the round, you know, almost like a virtual pop out, you know, the Edomar, you know, Ki'ilu presence or the Eidos presence, or it's a Mesira Shebetzurefes Le'Eidos, but that's enough. Maybe that could be Freidei Kiyum, maybe. It's a kind of, it gives stature to the Mesira, although it isn't exactly physical presence, right? Or this is just the Ran's, you know, kind of way of saying, and that, you know, the Raya Biad Tofe Sashtar and that whole bit. So if it's that, you know, that's the antithesis of, you know, of this kind of Eidei Kiyum Lekiyumei Milsa. So that it's interesting. Okay. So, you know, whether the Ran is a way of saying, you know, something close to, you know, even for Eidei Chasima, you know, the Ra'ah, Reb Chaim, etc., or, you know, the opposite, that's kind of an open question. Certainly if you don't hold anywhere near the Ran, right? Again, the Ra'ah is an interesting question because the Ra'ah does think that the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Meir are different than the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer, but he doesn't, at least in the piece that we saw in Ksuvis, he probably doesn't think that they're Eidei Mesira, right? He just thinks that they're Ashvuye Shtara and the Mesira is the Davar HaKobeya. So I don't think the Ra'ah here, you know, Lishitaso, you know, would work very well, frankly. That's an interesting question. Like, if we could interview the Ra'ah and ask him, do you think that, like, Eidei Chasima, you know, should really, your view of Eidei Chasima, would they really work for, you know, Eidei Kiyum, you know, in Gittin v'Kiddushin, let's say? Let's leave it at Kiddushin for the moment. Or let's say we could find the Ramban you know, and with Ramban, Ramban doesn't argue with the Rif on that point, or the Rambam, and, you know, but I think clearly it doesn't hold that Edei Kasim are Edei Mesira, you know, so is he just saying, yeah, because that's not what Edei Kiyum are? He doesn't agree with the Ra, his Talmud, right? I said the Ra is more interesting because we have two interesting shitos, but, you know, one doesn't quite accomplish the other. The Ra who went further might. Okay, I hope I'm not just confusing everybody. These are subtle points. Okay, so that's one point. The other is the Rajba and the Ksos. The Rajba and Samech Amadeus in Kiddushin, which we have to look at still more. We'll look at the language and also the Ksos in Simen Resh Mem Aleph, but let's talk about it for a minute even now. You know, that's the other one. Namely, what troubled two things about the Rajba. And again, in contrast to the Ra, which is not unusual, like it's just always like fascinating. You know, two Talmidim of the Ramban, like the two most prominent Talmidim of the Ramban are the Ra and the Rajba. And, you know, within that, like, Beis Medrash, you know, they go off significantly, you know, in very different, subtle, but crucially different paths in many, many topics. It's just like a very interesting window. Anyways, so the Rajba, you know, really formulated the question, you know, in the clearest way. And even his, you know, his conclusion, you know, is it became as famous as the Ritva B'Shem Ra'az, you know, but as an alternative. How so? Do you have it there, the Rajba? Do you see it? Okay, so see it. Everybody should see it for Sunday. I'll just read, you know, the question, and I'll. I think there are two things in the Rajma to look at, and also just look at the Ksos. And I'll tell you one other thing before we leave, because I don't want to leave it just at that. You know what? I'll leave the Rajba. How many people saw the Rajba in Kiddusha? Okay, so let me at least raise the question. The question of the Rajba is what? Aryeh saw it? What's the Rajba's question? There are two issues that the Rajba deals with, both of which are really important. One is the Hagdara of Kavlach Rini, right, which we'll get back to. He disagrees with Rashi. That's important to discuss on Sunday. But the other one is like he jumps into the fray. What's his question, Arye? What's the fundamental question that he asks? I mean the Kavlach Rini part.
Yeah.
Okay, Kavlach Rini is very important. But the equally important is the question that he asks. His question is what? What's Josh?
Why should
Kavlach Rini affect anybody? Good.
If she says it was Bifnei Shnayim.
What?
If she says it was Bifnei Shnayim, but it seems to work.
He's assuming that, but why should Kavlach Rini matter? And what? Migo should work. These are all things that he says, but you're all right. Exactly. The bigger question, but that's kind of what Josh was started to say. But you just have to, you know, like what do we care about Kavlach Rini? In the end of the day, we don't. Doesn't the Gemara say that we learn davar davar to connect erva and you know, and Dini Maminus, right? Which, by the way, in light of the way you asked the question before, but it was implicit in our discussion already, you were asking, like, you know, how much of regular Eidus has to remain, you know, the other direction, in that's what I was going to find. But that's part of it, meaning, in the end of the day, the Gemara is associating the requirements of Eidus with Dini Maminus. So Mimanushach, right? How does it work out that? How come I don't have that here? Oh, I see. It's earlier, as it should be. Yeah, here. Akati kasha, my mechayva, mechayves ika. Atami shahoda shemachar sadeo lechaveir on a neman. Right, that's what you guys were all zeroing in on. Right, but the bigger question is you know, this huge discrepancy, you know, between Dine Maminis and everything else, right? The Gabe Mamon, the Ilav, the Kosav Rach, yeah, you have it there? Yeah, no? The Ilav, the Kosav Rachman, Asher Yom HaKihuzea, right? The Minog, Aminin, Hadas, Balin, Kemedim, Dami, Hav Aminin, Lilolim, Loma, Kaimim, El Sela, Vesadi, the Sil, Pishnai, Medim, Oshol, Shedim, Yochum, Dabar, who could you stop him, Mil Salamar Zutra? El the Osa Kihuze, the Goli, the Yakum Dabar, Bemakum, the Ika Kovalak Rinixit. Hukach Arias, the Xibu Dabar, Al Korchan, the Tzad Mamon, Shesh Bachova Hukshu. The Lola Tzad Mamon, Shein Bachova. Why are we equating, right, Eidus of Isha? I mean, he's saying we are, but. What?
This is answer.
Yeah, but it's the... I don't mean like... This is the issue that he's raising, right? Why are we equating, right, the aid in Eidus Isha Bili Hakasha to Eidus Mamon Bihakasha? That's the question. I mean, that he's explaining that we are. Exactly. So that's in the end what he's trying to, which means what? Chavlachrini in the sense of Tzorech Birur.
No, but isn't he saying you need a Kiyom Milsa? It's not Chavlach
Rini Mamish? No, but the way he's understanding Kiyom Milsa.
Elba Mekhaim Me Daba.
Right, he doesn't understand. Right, so as we'll see, for him it's not the presence of the Edim. He's saying what Hodas Baldin does in Dine Maminis is what Edim do when there's Chavlach Rini in Davar Shebe'erva. Right? Which is they provide Birur. Right? So we'll pick up with this. I'll just read you also the Ksos, because that's also... The Ksos, of course, he starts with the question, and then he says, oh, Matzasi... the Rajba, but this is the Ksos and Reish. Oh yeah, and one other thing I wanted to throw in just before we adjourn. This is Reish Mem Aleph, first piece of Reish Mem Aleph. Ikal Meidak, Ma'ishno begitim v'kiddushin debein and shnei edim al guf ha'maisa, ubeina levena lav klumru, v'afilu shnei embodim, v'afinu v'perka omer dover mimamon, v'kivin degabe mamon v'skayim ha'maisa b'li edim, kol sha'in and emes, v'kiddushin v'gitim de mamon yalifla, right, Yolif, sorry. Lo niskaima maisa below Edim. Viniskasesi baze acha masasi kushazu, he also formulates it, bichidushi harajba, perika omer. Ayin sham, shakasiv, yolif dover dover mimamun, bamako makhasha, the tsarik shne edim, alchanami, bina bichidushi vikitun, kid vigitin shne edim af al gufa maisa, filishne emodim. Right, why are you equating? If it's davar davar mi mamon, why are you equating, you know, despite the difference? That's the question. Okay? So we'll see exactly, I'll go through the language of the Rajba and look at this Ksos, very important. But I just want to leave with one other thought, and that is, Anachav Lachrini, sorry I'm a little late, but well, just one more minute. So I wanted you to look, if you just got a chance, at the, you don't have to look at the whole piece, because that would take a long time. The Or Sameach. I don't know if anybody had a chance. Anybody have a chance to look at the Or Sameach? Go ahead, Shai. What does he talk about?
He seems to say that the...
What's his question? What's his issue?
So is there everything with the one in Perikyot or the one in...
Perikyot. Massive piece. Can't miss it. Right, pages and pages. And then when you finish those pages, there are more pages after that.
He has one about Avis Kimadavar and Klopo.
Excellent. Exactly. Because Perikyot, if Hilchasishos, is... That's the Rambam's Nesuin. That's when Rambam finishes Hilchos Kiddushin, right, at the end of the ninth parak. Parak Yud is Hilchos Ishus. So in Ilchus Isha's Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, Yor Sameach weighs in and says, do you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin? Correct?
Yeah.
Namely, let's say you split up the Erusin and the Nisuin, which in the olden days they sometimes used to do, right? So, let's say it was, a week later, a month later, a year later, whatever it is. So do you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin or not? Says the Or Sameach in a very logical way. Chai, what's his derech?
So,
is it a long piece, or am I exaggerating its length?
The truth is, I saw mostly the one in Perek Tes, where he talked about chuppah for like three lines.
But. Oh, wow, maybe I should see that one. You have a good knack. Okay, but even if you scroll it, is it long?
Yeah.
It's quite long,
yeah.
Right? What?
Yeah.
It's long. So, but what he does there is fascinating. He has this question. Do you need Eidei Kiyum? He's choke. Do you need Eidei Kiyum or not? By the way, does the Rambam require Eidei Kiyum? It's not there. It's noticeable by its absence. Okay. The only Rishon who is explicit, as far as I'm aware of, that there is a requirement of Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin is the Tosfos Riazake in Kiddushin. And what is it, Testament Base or Yonah Ben Aleph? He mentions it very agav, that you would require edim, for nesuah. As far as I know, no other Rishon weighs in on this question. That doesn't mean they don't, but I'm not aware of it. The Achronim discuss it. The Rambam omits it. The Rambam's omission is very telling. Like, the Rambam's not shy to talk about Eidei Kiyum. He talks about it in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus several times. He talks about it in Hilchos Gerushin. In Perek Yud, of Hilchos Ishus Halacha Aleph, when he starts discussing Nisuin, he doesn't say anything about it. Which is, obviously, the Or Sameach, noticed that. He puts it there. But the Or Sameach says, what would happen if you separated the Erusin? Again, the way we do weddings, right, is, not the Cracker Jack ones. That could actually be an afkamina, because they usually don't have a chuppah there. But, we integrate the Erusin and the Nisuin, right? So they're always Eidim. The Eidim under the Chuppah, or the Eidei Yichud, or the Eidei Badekin. That's what they are. They're Eidim on the Nisuin. That's actually the question. Do we need them? Right? Again, under the Chuppah, if the Chuppah is standing under the Chuppah, you have them anyway. Right? But what do you need Eidei Badekin, if that's the Nisuin? Do you need Eidei Yichud? Right? So the Or Sameach says, I don't have an explicit answer to this question, but I sure know how to figure it out.
There's no chav lachrini.
Is there any additional chav lachrini to anybody else after Erusin, right, prior, does Nisuin add chav lachrini to anybody beyond what already exists in Erusin? Now, if you're talking about Korba, or you're talking about Esher Sish, that's already done by the Erusin, right? So now the question will be, in addition to the chav lachrinis of the Erusin, is there any added value chav lachrini by Nisuin? And then the pages and pages and pages that follow are to try to analyze that question, or to try to bring rayas for that question, etc. Correct? So what was Reb Chaim's approach to this question? Well, it's not the Chibur, but Mipi HaShmua, the Rav reported that Reb Chaim was convinced that there was a fundamental difference between Erusin and Nisuin. That Erusin was a chalos, and that Erusin was something that creates the shame Eish Hashish, and like Nisuin is more like a davar de bimela, It's like, the Ishus is like waiting to be completed. It's almost like artificially, held up, in the interim. And, the Nisuin, whatever it is like the matir, it's the Maisa de Bimela. It's like the way Reb Chaim described, like, Chalitza, or in some views, Yibum, is described. That's how he thought. So at Halakha L'Maisa, the Rab reported that Reb Chaim, as a chumrah, required Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin. But, his heart wasn't in it. You know, like he didn't really think, because again, his view, as we just read in Hilchos Yibum, is that there's a relationship between, you know, the das level that you require, the, you know, the extent to which is a new chalos as opposed to a maisa de minela, and nisuin is mostly like a maisa de minela, at least according to the Rambam. So while practically he had it or he required it, you know, he didn't really believe that, you know, fundamentally, you know, and again, the Rambam's omission is certainly, you know, eina omer ella darsheni. So, like, doesn't it depend on the Or Sameach and the Chavlach Rini? So the Or Sameach is looking for any Chavlach Rini, right? But according to Rav Chaim's perspective, I don't know that, again, I have no clue, I never heard definitively what Rav Chaim did with Chavlach Rini, but in my mind, you know, whether he actually held this way or I'm comfortable grafting it to his view, so it doesn't matter to me so much. I mean, I prefer that he actually said it, but I mean, I'm not saying it in his name. I'm saying it, to me, it fits with the Shita, is that Chavlach Rini, right, also reflects not just any, you know, detrimental impact as, you know, which would eliminate Todos Baldin Kameidim. Right? I mean, there are two perspectives of reading this Gemara. According to one Gemara, we're just trying to explain why there's no Hodas Baldin, and also why we don't leave things to risk, why you need a secure view. So for that, you know, a more minimal Chavlach Rini is fine. But if Chavlach Rini is the way of explaining, no, you thought we were talking about a form of Edibirur here, you know, no. There's something called Edikiyum. It defines the Ishus. This is Ishus. It's Chavlach Rini. Right? So then, even if you found a few, you know, as long as what you found wasn't something that reflected that this change affects other people because it's a new chalos, a chalos beyond the old chalos, in the Arison, it wouldn't matter. Right? Okay, so we'll stop here. Sorry, over time. We'll pick up with the Rajba, the Ksos, and then I want to talk a few other things I told you to look at this that highlight this, and then I want to talk about Ksav Yad, and then I'll give you a few other things about, like, Mizuyav and Mukhmitoko, and we'll pull out the picture.